Good morning, everyone. Has everyone signed in that intends to speak today? Okay. We're going to start the meeting today with the director of the MPC introducing some of our new staff members. This meeting, we've got a number of people here that are new, so we want everybody to be familiar with one another. Thank you. Sorry about that.
Sorry. My name is Melanie Wilson. I'm the executive director of the Metropolitan Planning Commission, and I'm going to take a moment to introduce you to the newer staff that will be doing the presentation for you today. As you all know, Marcus Watson has accepted a position over the county to be the assistant director of building and safety. So, got some new staff and some very well qualified staff that we've been working with all the other boards to.
Oh, thank you. As well as the other boards with the MPC, we have Edward Morrow, who is a principal planner. You'll be hearing a lot from him. He has a great background, a Georgia Tech graduate, a Morehouse graduate, and is AICP as well. You know Melissa Paletto. You've seen her. And Jamie, who works with historic preservation as part of across training, trying to make sure everybody has a good understanding about how all these processes work. So with that, I will leave you, but I just wanted to take that opportunity to let you know who will be doing the presentations for our cases and who you'll be working with moving forward. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the June 22nd, 2023 City of Savannah Zoning Board of Appeals meeting. This is a quasi-judicial proceeding. All those wishing to give testimony during these proceedings will please sign in. Witnesses will be sworn in prior to giving testimony. All proceedings of the Savannah Zoning Board of Appeals are recorded. Decisions of the Savannah Zoning Board of Appeals are final. Challenges to the decisions of the Savannah Zoning Board of Appeals must be filed through the Superior Court of Chatham County. All persons in attendance are requested to note that that sign-in sheet, in case you did miss it, is sitting right out in the hall right here so that you can get onto that. I think what we'll do first is our invocation and pledge of allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Dear Lord, give our board members, staff, and those in attendance the grace to represent the city of Savannah in the highest possible way, and thank you for all the blessings that you bestow on us each and every day. Amen. Okay. I see that there are no items to be removed from the final agenda or items that are requested to be withdrawn. So let's move to approval of the May 25, 2023 meeting minutes. Do I hear a motion?
Motion to approve the minutes.
Second?
Second.
Motion and second. Mr. Turner, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
Mr. Evans?
Yes.
Ms. Jarrett?
Yes.
Okay. Seeing that that will be moved forward then. And then the approval of the final agenda. Do I have a motion?
Motion to approve the final agenda.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Ms. Jarrett?
Yes.
Mr. Evans?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
And Mr. Turner?
Yes.
Okay. And the first, we will begin with our old business, which is a variance request from 1313 Habersham Street, a request for a reduction of 11 off-street parking spaces. Good morning.
Good morning, Melissa Lito, MPC staff. We're opening up the agenda plus for pictures, but at this time I can address the staff report. This item, 1313 Habersham Street, was on the May 25th ZBA agenda. The applicant requested a continuance to this month of June 22nd. Let me see if I can open something. Business. All right. So this is the aerial view of 1313 Habersham Street, and it's on the corner of Habersham and Anderson. This is the Shook Mediterranean restaurant, and then this is their parking spaces that they're currently providing, which it technically is one ADA space and four parking spaces. And the subject property, the applicant is requesting a variance. So what they want to do is show you their site plan. So here's the Shook restaurant, which is existing as 3,832 square feet. They have a parking lot here that I showed you earlier, and this is a proposed site plan. They're proposing to place an outdoor seating area with landscaping. And then they are going to convert their parking spaces that were required for the actual restaurant that they were providing at the parking lot, and they're going to convert them over to the lane area for parking spaces. And while doing that, they are needing an 11 off-street parking space variance. The subject property is approximately 0.17 acres or 7,402 acres square feet in lot area and is located within the TC1 Traditional Commercial 1 Zoning District. The one-story commercial building was significantly renovated in 2015 on the corner of Habersham and East Anderson Streets. The restaurant Shook Mediterranean occupies about 4,134 square feet of interior space. Within the interior of the restaurant, there are approximately 92 seats available, and there are 12 seats as part of their outdoor sidewalk dining. Per the city zoning administrator, the property owner converted a paved surface parking area to the rear of the restaurant on East Anderson Street, with new pervious pavers, which includes 5 off-street parking spaces and 3 on-street parking spaces provided in the frontage along Habersham Street for a total of 8 vehicle parking spaces. The parking requirement for restaurants is 1 parking space per 100 square feet of consumption area. The new outdoor dining area would be one based on the site plan, would be 1,517 square feet. There is a 25% parking reduction for the Victorian district. This results in a variance of 11 off-street parking spaces. The property owner is providing the 6 parking spaces off the lane for the existing restaurant requirements. Going over staff's findings, the proposed additional 1,517 square feet of outdoor dining area is what is triggering the need for this parking variance request. Currently, the restaurant has, again, approximately 92 indoor seats and 12 outdoor sidewalk cafe seats while conforming to the minimum off-street parking requirements. The request to convert the conforming parking lot into outdoor dining and asking for an 11 off-street parking variance parking variance is not consistent with the intent of this ordinance. Another finding is there are no special conditions and or circumstances which are peculiar to the land, building, or structures involved. The property currently conforms with the minimum parking requirements for the Shook Mediterranean restaurant. The proposed outdoor seating within the off-street parking lot is the reason for this parking variance request. The applicant has over 90 indoor dining seats and 12 outdoor cafe seats. This parking variance is a request. Request is a direct result from the actions of the applicant. The parking variance request would not result in unnecessary and undue hardship for the applicant. The parking variance request itself is unnecessary, as the Shook Mediterranean restaurant has sufficient space indoors and outdoor cafe seating to accommodate customers and has a sufficient parking lot with pervious pavers that follow the current minimum parking requirements. As a result, staff recommendation is based on the variance criteria. Staff recommends denial of the requested parking variance. Thank you. I'm here for any questions, as well as the applicant, Robert McCorkle.
No. Mr. Monk.
The grass lot there, that's part of the subject property?
No, it is not.
Okay, it's a separate.
It's an adjacent parcel.
Okay.
Yes.
Any other questions? All right, so before we begin, let's everybody who intends to speak today, and then we'll let Mr. McCorkle speak. So everybody who intends to speak, please stand and raise your right hand. Just so we know, once we do this, if you want to get up and speak again, you're going to have to do it then. So let's everybody that intends to speak today, just put your hand in the air. Okay.
For everything.
Sorry. Yeah. Sorry for any miscommunication there. Okay. So I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help me God. Okay. Mr. McCorkle, good morning, sir.
This is a picture of Shook Mediterranean. Hopefully y'all are familiar. Hopefully you've been there and eaten. My client spent over $1.5 million renovating this building in 2021 and 2022 to make it the beautiful building that it is now. It's been a great addition to the neighborhood. It opened in November of 2022, and they've had good success there. As it currently operates, much of the staff walks to work. It's very much a neighborhood restaurant, and most of the staff lives in the immediate vicinity and walks. Also, a lot of the customers walk and bike as it currently exists. We do have 6 spaces currently in the lot. The property was grandfathered in. It was a coffee shop before this and a furniture store for many decades before that. So it's always been a commercial building. We were grandfathered in for the 6 spaces that were there. So currently, as it sits again, we have a 4,000 square foot restaurant with 6 parking spaces available for off street. I want to make a note about the on street parking. You can see here the curb that runs along the side of the building, which is all available for parking. This is a picture. You can hardly see my writing in here, but I want to make the note that along the street here on Habersham, adjacent to our building, there are 4 on-street parking spaces. Maybe you could squeeze 5 in, but realistically probably 4. Back here in the dentist office, there's also on the same backside of this block, there's an additional 4 spaces here. And then across the street, there's 9 spaces again. There's usually oftentimes a motorcycle parked up here in the corner, which would be 10. Basically, you've got 9 spaces across the street. So we have about 17 on-street spaces in the immediate block that we're on, 17 to 18. We also have a cat stop, which is located right in front of the building, directly across the street here on Anderson. We also have the free trolley that runs around downtown and helps people move from place to place, also stops within 2 blocks of the restaurant. So I say all that just to say there are a lot of different alternatives to coming to Shook outside of the six parking spaces that we have in the parking lot. As Melissa mentioned, the sole reason for this request is the desire to have the option to create an additional outdoor seating area in the area that is now our current parking lot. Outdoor seating areas are great in Savannah. If you've been to Atlantic Station, you've been to Hopatomica, you've been to a lot of the restaurants that are kind of neighborhood restaurants in town, almost all of them have fairly large outdoor seating areas. Almost all of them have very limited parking, but it seems to work, and the neighbors still seem to be patronize these places. The good news about having outdoor dining area is that it provides, you know, multiple dining experiences for our customers. It also is a better alternative for parents and for people with pets to come and eat outside if they may not want to be inside. And here, the plan here, and this will partially answer your question, Mr. Plunk, the plan here involves us acquiring this piece of property. So as it currently sits, this is an empty lot. That empty lot has four parking spaces in the rear. Those four parking spaces are used by residents of a residential building that is actually next door at 308 East Anderson, obviously not on the site of the empty lot. And so my client has this property under contract. It does a couple of things for us. One, it allows us to have an outdoor seating area while still replacing and preserving the six parking spaces that we have. As you can see on this plan that Andy Lynch did, we moved the six parking spaces into the lane. We could turn the dumpster out to the lane. We've had all this reviewed by zoning and by traffic with the city of Savannah, both of which are signed off on it, pending our ability to get a variance to do it. And so those four spaces for the residents next door would, in fact, go away. And we would move our six spaces back to the back here. We would own the space. So not only does it allow us to preserve our six spaces, it also allows us to add an outdoor seating area, hopefully, and then also allows us to provide some green space there, which will also be a nice addition to the restaurant. But it is part, we will be owning that property if all this works out and it goes through. But still under the ordinance, in order to do this, we need 11 additional parking spaces. It's a little strange because we've got a 4,000 square foot restaurant that has six spaces total, and to add up to 1,400 square feet of outdoor area as a seating option, we have to add 11 more spaces, which almost triples the amount of parking that we currently exist with. The parking is not an issue at Shook. I eat there regularly. I also have been driving by doing car counts for the last few weeks, and over that period of time, I've never been by there either morning or lunch or evenings as I've been doing my rotations where there has not been parking either on the side on Habersham, in front of us on Anderson, or in the parking lot. On very few occasions have I ever seen all the parking spaces in the parking lot full because, frankly, I eat there fairly regularly. I've never parked in the parking lot. I always just park on Anderson directly across the street or pull around and park on Habersham immediately and next to the building. So the spaces are being used, but they're not full, and they just never have had a parking problem operating a 4,000-square-foot restaurant there. And so the question is, I suppose, can we add 1,400 square feet of outdoor space to our existing business without increasing the available off-street parking spaces? We believe that we can. One, we don't believe that outdoor eating is a one-for-one parking addition to our business. It's an alternative place to sit. It's an option for people when they come to the restaurant. We're not doubling the size or tripling the size of our restaurant. Our kitchen is not changing the size of the kitchen. So we have certain constraints that are in place with staff and kitchen and other things that we can only serve what we can serve. So we don't believe that it's not like we're building a new restaurant. We don't believe this is going to add all of these necessary spaces. Also, if people can't park, they're not going to come to our restaurant. I don't think that we're putting parking off of the immediate block that we're on. I think we're a neighborhood service, a lot of walking, a lot of biking. And if people are coming from a distance and are parking and can't park in the immediate vicinity, they're going to go on to another place down the street most likely. You know, you've got tequilas and tacos two blocks away from us that used to be blowing smoke. their parking lot's about to have a building built in it, so they don't have any parking up there. There's a lot of restaurants in the area that have very limited parking, and all of them suffer from the same thing, which is if you don't have adequate parking somewhere, people are going to move on to the next spot. We don't believe we're going to have a problem with that at all. Also, as I mentioned, there's adequate parking on the street. Never have a situation where there's no parking available on the street and nearby. We're also going to add bike racks. If we close off the parking lot in the manner in which we're doing, we'll add bike racks too, which will add that for our customers. And then also, as I mentioned, most of our staff walks, and so we don't have an employee parking issue. I can't remember if Melissa mentioned it or not. We had two letters on this matter. One was a letter of recommendation from Alderman Dietrich Leggett, whose district this is in support. And one, we had a letter in opposition from the Victoria Neighborhood Association. I want to respond in two ways to Nancy's two comments in her letter from V&A. The first is the four parking spaces that are used by the residents at 308 East Anderson are going away regardless of this petition. The lot is for sale. The property is for sale. Someone's going to buy it if it is not us. And if it's not us, some building will get built there and those spaces are going to go away. We are not displacing the four parking spaces that are there. We've confirmed with the city that the building next door at 308 does not have to have any parking. So those spaces are going away regardless of whether this petition is approved. Something ultimately is going to go on that space. So we do not believe that we are creating I think she called it a net loss of parking in the area by displacing those four spaces. They are going to go away either way. And second, we also don't believe that our parking situation or the operation of this outdoor eating area is going to negatively impact residents. As I mentioned, there are always spaces available on the street, but over the course of the last few weeks, I've been doing these car counts going by and seeing what the parking situation is. I go by there at 8 o'clock every morning. I've been going by there at lunchtime between 12:30 and 1, and I've been going by there in the evenings between 6 and 7:30. And in none of those situations have all the spaces been full. But one particular thing I want to mention that I think is interesting is that in the mornings, when I come by there every morning at 8 o'clock on my way to work and I circle the block to see what's going on, I have never seen a single car at 8 o'clock in the morning over the last several weeks parked along Haversham Street, either next to us or next to the dentist's office. Not one in any day that I've driven by it. And so what that tells me is that residents aren't parking in those parking spaces. I would assume across the street now on Anderson, there are in the mornings, on every morning, between 4 and 6 cars. Now, in the daytime, that fluctuates. People are working. People are gone. They're doing whatever. But every morning across Shield and Anderson, there's 4 to 6 cars that are always parked, same cars. Clearly, there are residents over there that are parking there at night. But along Haversham, there's not a single car parked. And so, again, we've got some commercial buildings around us immediately on the corners of the we're on. We've got a SCAD building next to us. We have other properties that are not necessarily residential in nature right there on Haversham. And so we don't believe that we're actually affecting any of the residents' parking by what we're doing there on site, because we don't believe the residents are using those 8 spaces, at least as they run along the side. So with that, again, we're not opening a new restaurant. We don't believe that we're adding a one-for-one space requirement with this outdoor seating. We really are just trying to provide an alternative seating area for our customers. We are acquiring this property next to us so that we can preserve all of our existing spaces. And we believe that with the capacity on the street and with the amount of walkers and bikers that we have, that it will not have a detrimental effect on the neighborhood. And with that, I'm happy to answer any questions and also ask for your support.
Thank you, sir. Any questions from the board? Okay.
Mr. McCord, you had mentioned earlier in your presentation sort of grandfathering for this building and the 6 existing spots. What I'm trying to understand, what is triggering the need for the variance? Is it the addition of the outdoor seating, i.e. the additional square footage, that brings it within the ordinance where you need the additional parking?
Yes.
Or are you losing this grandfathered
So we are not losing our grandfathering. The only thing that's requiring this is the addition of the outdoor space. The ordinance as it's drafted requires that you have one space for every 100 feet of outdoors. That's just what the rule is, which is a fair amount of parking spaces if you're adding an outdoor seating area to a restaurant. Again, if you're not increasing your capacity of your kitchen, you're not really increasing your staff, you're just adding outdoor seating, but you've got to add those spaces. Our grandfathering currently will stay for the restaurant, so our six spaces will still be covered by the six spaces that we'll be providing in the lane. And so this is solely to park the outdoor seating area.
And then sort of a separate line of questioning, you know, our mandate to some extent is, if we're going to provide a variance, is based on the factors that were presented in Ms. Balletto's presentation that deal primarily with, if we grant you a variance, why is the situation unique compared to other businesses in the area, such that we wouldn't, you know, undermine the ordinance by having to grant everyone a variance? I didn't hear that in your presentation as to why exact, you know, do you take issue with anything that Ms. Balletto said with regard to sort of the anything exceptional about this particular or unique about this lot?
I mean, I suppose what's it's not necessarily unique to other parcels or other existing restaurants that would be in the vicinity. I think it's a unique situation that certainly could apply to other restaurants as well, in that, one, we're grandfathered in where we are. So we already have 4,000 square foot restaurant with six parking spaces. Because of the fact that we've been operating and because of the fact that we're not building a new place coming for a variance before we've ever even opened, we have some data and some experience as to how things are working at the restaurant. But we are grandfathered in the location that we are. I also think it's, you know, the fact that we are, again, only adding outdoor seating to an existing restaurant is somewhat of a unique case as opposed to what would typically happen, which is us coming. But there's not necessarily, other than our location and the availability that we have of on-street parking that immediately surrounds us because we're on a corner, which wouldn't be applicable to places that are inside of a block. And because we do have the ability to buy this property and preserve the six spaces we have, that it makes it a little bit of an unusual variance request, at least in my experience.
Yeah, mine is obviously a concern about the number of parking spaces. And you do have this huge open grass area. Have you looked at other configurations for parking that may utilize part of this open grass area for parking?
Yeah,
or have you considered and talked with the dental office about doing some shared nighttime parking? Because you say you go by there at 6:30 or 6:30 to 7:30 at night. Well, generally my understanding is at 8 is when the dinner market and bar market kind of picks up. So I wonder what it's like later.
I have the restaurant owner here who can comment on that, if that specific question as far as what it's like after 7:30. As far as, there's two other questions there. One was about our parking configuration in the additional lot. The way it kind of worked out to build conforming spaces and the way we would have to drive through would be very similar to the way we have the lot configured now. Mm-hmm. And so ultimately what we would be doing is just, instead of having the spots in the lane, we would be adding the spots over to the side over there and then still driving through the property. So it didn't really add a net gain to us for spaces if we tried to configure them in the new lot. But yes, we did look at it. We did have Andy Lynch conceptually draw it out. Two, we have talked to the dentist office. You know, Nancy raised that issue to me. I've talked to her about this over the time of us going through this process. We have talked to them. We haven't reached some kind of an agreement with them. The owner hasn't been willing to do it, even though I think their office closes at 2 o'clock in the afternoon or something like that. I think people may park there anyway. I don't know. But we have not reached an agreement with them. We're still in discussions, and I think those discussions will still continue. My client doesn't have a problem doing that. If we think that parking's a problem and it's preventing us from, you know, having our customers be able to get to our spot, it's in our best interest to get that deal done with them. Alexis, do you want to talk about after 7:30?
She swore.
Okay. Come on. So the question was whether or not the parking situation is picking up later in the evening.
Oh, sure. So I would say,
please introduce yourself.
Oh, hi, sorry. My name is Alexis Levin. I own Shook Mediterranean. So I would say we close at 10 o'clock at night. We definitely don't have a late night crowd. And being open till 10 o'clock is really just to get those people coming in until 9 o'clock. People don't like to come to a restaurant in the last hour that they're opening. For that matter, anyone who is coming later is probably having a cocktail. So it's definitely decreasing the number of people coming in to with driving there. I would say people are walking mostly, or taking an Uber, hopefully.
Isn't there a bar facility in the back of the restaurant?
Yes, it's part of our restaurant, but it is part of our restaurant. It's not a freestanding bar, and we're only open till 10 o'clock with full food service. So really it's just an addition to the restaurant, such as is this outdoor seating area. We're not really bringing in a bunch of bar guests. It's people already coming into the restaurant to dine with us, and then they have the ability to get drinks. So this variance is kind of in the same way that we're just trying to look to add more options for everyone.
All right, thank you.
Yeah.
There is still the issue, and I do understand that your plan is not resulting in the net increase on the parking load, but if the property is sold, whether it's sold to you or to someone else, there will be a net increase in parking load because those residents are going to have to park on the street now. So that's something we need to keep in mind as well.
I have a question. So the kind of piggybacking on what she just asked, obviously the open grass area, kind of looking at it, to get 11 spots there would be pretty tight. So I completely understand what you say as far as it wouldn't really result in any help. But it seems like from the neighborhood association, the primary concern is not so much the 11, but more the 4, I guess it is, specific spots. Was there any thought to just adding 4 spots into that open grass area? Would that be more doable than adding 11 back there? Was that thought out at all? Was that part of the?
We looked at the ability to preserve the spaces in the rear and also have parking in there. But again, the trick is the narrowness of the lot. You would really have to drive through. We couldn't design it in such a way where you could pull in, turn around and come. I mean, I guess you could do it potentially that way as turn around and come out. We also kind of looked at this as being a buffer to the residences, frankly. And the addition of green, it not only allows us to control the property and what goes next to us, I guess, which is important to us, but it also creates that buffer. But we did look at various alternative plans, and all of them required us to go back through the lane. So you're either losing the spaces in the lane or you're losing the spaces in the lot, one or the other.
Makes sense. Thank you.
Any other questions for Mr. McCorkle?
Thank you for
your time. Thank you, sir. Anyone else wish to speak on behalf of the petition? Anyone wishing to speak against the petition? Having seen no one, we're going to open it up to board discussion. Anyone have a comment? I would like to say that living in that neighborhood, I do walk to Shook and I do eat there on a fairly regular basis. It is a pretty terrific facility that does, I think, an outstanding job of catering to the neighborhood and the community. I find it hard to punish them for something that's beyond their control, i.e. that the neighbor is going to sell the house. And once that building is sold, those 4 spaces are lost either way. And so it's not going to matter if Shook buys it or if a developer buys it. And in fact, I think we're better off if Shook buys it, because if a developer buys it, he's going to put a big old building on there. That's what's going to happen. Instead of having a green space in the Victorian district, which is pretty rare, and it will stay that way because it will have to stay that way. I too have never gone there and seen that there was any type of a stress on parking. And I do agree with Mr. McCorkle that if that was the case, and I'm one of those guys, if I pull up to a restaurant and I can't park, I keep driving. Now, I'm lucky it shook because I live 2 blocks away. I can just walk there. But I think that, like so many of the places that we have in the Victorian district, especially on this Thomas Square streetcar district end of the district, I think most people walk. At least that's my experience. And so I think to require 11 parking spaces for an area that's relatively small compared to the restaurant itself, when the restaurant is only required to have 6 spaces, I think is an example of why we exist. I think that the rule is beyond the actual practical scope of what they're attempting to do. And so that it falls upon us to assist a good business owner who's trying to offer alternatives to their guests to help them to get that done. So that's my 2 cents.
I'll add, I'll also confirm, I every time I've ever been to Shook, I've walked there because I've never driven or parked there. Staff would correct me if I'm wrong. Is it accurate that they could do this by right, this parking configuration, if they did not add outdoor seating? If, say, they just wanted to leave that lot as nothing, no seating out there, anything, they could just change and have those 6 spots become their grandfathered spots if they so desired for whatever reason?
Yes.
Okay.
They're conforming right now with all of their, because they have grandfathered spaces on street, and then they have the 6 parking spaces.
Right. But so if they wanted to take the 6 spots, you know, where they currently are and just move them to where they have, but not ask for the outdoor seating, that would be permissible?
Oh, yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So that kind of is to your point. I mean, they could do this. The only thing triggering it is them wanting to add some outdoor seating there. There's nothing preventing them from doing this parking configuration otherwise, so that I see both sides. I wish there was some way to fit just 4 cars there. If there was access from Anderson Street into the lot, that would make this whole thing much easier. But unfortunately, it looks like it's only from the lane as the access. But that would.
I think it, to your point, the gentleman that is selling the building that has 4 tenants with parking, that's his problem. That's something he has to address. You know, it doesn't fall onto the responsibility of Shook or anybody who buys that building. You know, it becomes their responsibility. And, you know, as Ms. Leto said, the parking is not required for that spot. So I think we have to really try very hard to just focus on the specifics of 1313 Habersham so that we don't, as much as I, you know, would like to help those folks, and I think it's a valiant endeavor, I don't think it's something that should be focused on in our particular purview here based on.
I'd like to share as well. I do not live in the area. I live not too terribly far away, but I met friends there not long ago. 3 of us, there were 3 cars that came. I brought one of the friends and the other 2 drove their own cars. So there were 3 of us who came in cars. The parking lot was full when we went into the restaurant. I parked on the street. One of the friends that I brought doesn't walk well, so I had to drop her off, come back around, park on the street. I hear what you're saying about not punishing them, but it's not really a punishment. What they're doing is asking for additional 1,300 square feet of seating area, which means more people will be visiting. And yes, I'm sure that some of them will be walkers, but some of them will also be drivers and car people. So,
Ms. Pauletta, that raises a bit of a question for me. Since this is being driven by an additional square footage of service area, where are we on that margin? Is it possible to add more outdoor seating, but not quite the square footage, and not like how close are we to triggering this extra 11 spaces? Is there some segment in between where if they added instead of 1,400 square feet, it was 1,200 square feet and it would be fewer parking spaces or no additional parking spaces?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I mean, there's 1 parking space per 100 square feet of consumption area. So they could reduce the amount of outdoor dining seat. And plus they have the cafe with 12 seats facing Anderson Street as well. So they do have outdoor seating right now.
It's 1 of 10.
Right.
Any other questions or discussion?
I guess one of the things you mentioned was that most of the employees walk to work. Therefore, parking isn't as needed when it comes to staff. I guess my fear is that staff changes.
Yes.
And maybe that's the case at this very moment that most don't, but depending on hiring needs, that can change completely.
Any other comments or questions? I'm open to a motion.
Motion to approve petitioner's request.
Second. We'll take a vote. Mr. Turner?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
Mr. Evans?
Yes.
Ms. Jarrett?
No.
And the motion carries, and the variance is approved. Next item on the agenda is a variance for 813 East 34th Street, a request to reduce the minimum 5-foot rear yard setback in an after-the-fact accessory building.
Good morning again.
Good morning.
We have Melissa, the staff member, and we also have
Supervisor Gary Bronstein from City of Savannah Code Compliance.
813 East 34th Street is an active code case, and that's why I requested them to come here for him. The applicant is requesting a reduction from the 5-foot rear yard setback to a 0-foot rear yard setback for an after-the-fact accessory building located in the rear of the property at 813 East 34th Street. Let me show you a... So this area here is the rear property of the subject parcel, and so this structure here to the rear of the property is what is has been built so far. The subject property is 0.16 acres or 6,969 square feet in lot area. There is a one-story single-family residence, a shed on the east side of the property, and a half-finished concrete block accessory building to the west side of the parcel. The property has an active code case, and I will allow the code officer to go through the process of what that
is. Good morning. And my name again is Gary Bronstein. I'm a code compliance supervisor for City of Savannah. And Melissa asked me to come out and speak on some of the events, the timeline of how we became involved on this property. Initially, when our officer was driving in the neighborhood, and this was back in January 11, 2022, and noticed a bunch of debris and objects and a commercial container on the property. And so she was, she cited the property for debris and objects and asked them to correct the conditions. She continued to monitor the property since they did have a commercial dumpster. They cleaned up some of the debris. However, on May the 2nd of 2022, she noticed there was a large pile of dirt was placed on the property. Continue to monitor the property. She's spoken with some of the residents. They explained that they were getting ready to renovate the property. 6/24, 2022, she noticed there's a pile of cinder blocks were now placed on the property. She asked them, she wrote a courtesy notice on the and posted it to the door asking them to, make sure that they applied for all necessary permits. On 7/14, another officer was driving by to inspect, and noticed that there was active work being done on the property and no permits. There was a dump truck pouring a concrete, some kind of foundation or floor for an accessory structure. And that structure went all the way back to the lane in the back. At that time, we went ahead and called Development Services, asked them to place a stop work order on the property, which they did. On 8/15, we took a picture of the stop work order on the property, as well as noticed that no continuing work was being done on the property, on the accessory structure. However, on 9/08/2022, we went back to the structure for another reinspection and noticed that work had continued on the accessory structure. The cinder blocks were being used and they were building the walls at the structure. At that time, the stop work order was still on the front door and there were no permits obtained. After that, we went ahead and issued a court summons to the property owner and asked them to appear in court because they were violating the city ordinances. That is basically it for us. We've had them in court. We've passed court a few times. We asked them to apply for all necessary permits. They did receive a permit for their residence, the main structure, but the permit was not approved for the accessory structure since there was some zoning issues involved. And basically that is it. We're waiting for these zoning issues to be resolved so that they can either get in, get a permit to come into compliance or the, correct to the violations.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
So based on the variance criteria, let me go over some of the general consistency. The requested variance is not consistent with the intent of this ordinance. The property owner began and continued to construct the accessory building without a building permit for close to 1 year before applying for a permit. The requested variance would be injurious to the neighborhood. Let me show you. A picture of the lane. So here's our MPC vehicle on East 34th Lane at the subject property to the right. It's heavily, has a heavy dense landscaping and it's very tight. And as you know, there, as you can see, there's a development pattern happening with several accessory buildings at the zero lot line. There are no special conditions and or circumstances that exist which are peculiar to the land, buildings, or structures involved and which are not applicable to other lands, buildings, or structures in the same zoning district. There does seem to be, like I said, a pattern of accessory buildings on the same block within the lane that do not meet the minimum 5-foot rear yard setback requirement. The applicant continues to construct, as for special conditions and circumstances, the applicant continued to construct the after-the-fact accessory building with a 0-foot rear yard setback, even while being warned by code compliance and prior to applying for a building permit. These actions are a direct result from the applicant. We are unsure what the purpose of the building will be. The applicant states it will be a garage. However, there are no openings for a vehicle to obtain access into the accessory building, only French doors at the entry. So there's window openings from the front of the building as well as to the back. And when I came in through the front of the property, there was no large opening for cars as well. There was a French door out to the side. Based on the variance criteria, staff recommends denial of the requested variance. Monica Wilson, the agent for Barbara Small's property owner, is here as well as me to answer any questions.
Thank you, Ms. Leto. I do have a question for you. It appears as though there's actually two cement buildings here.
There's a shed to the east of the property, which looks kind of wood, right? I'll show you a picture.
Oh, I see. It might be a bit of an optical illusion. Oh, yeah, that's a good picture right there.
Oh, was that it? Yeah, this.
So that's a wooden structure. Just to the right of that, that's all part of the same block structure?
Yes.
Just to the right.
There's a part. I didn't walk into the structure.
Okay.
As I hadn't contacted the property owner, so we just came by for a site visit, so I didn't want to be too invasive.
I just wasn't sure if there were three buildings back there, the tan-colored one and then two, you know, one new cement block building and one older cement block building. To the best of your knowledge, it's one.
Yes, it appears to be one, building. But is it two or is it just one?
Sure.
Good morning. My name is Monica Wilson.
Good morning, Ms.
I'm representing for my mom. It's okay. Her place.
Mm-hmm. So there's that tan building in this photo to the right of the tan building. Is that a separate block building or is this one larger block building and the picture just makes it look that way?
Yes, it's a separate wood building that's tearing it down to remove it.
And then, and then the cement block building, is there one cement block building or two?
Well, it's been added to an old cement block building.
Okay.
Attached.
So there was an existing building there.
Okay. The west side is the old part.
Okay. Thank you. I'll have you come back to speak in a moment. Okay. Anyone have any questions for Ms. Lytle? Thank you very much. Ms. Wilson, if you'd like to come up and speak now, go ahead and introduce yourself again and then speak about your project.
Okay. Good morning again. My name is Monica Wilson. And to address some of the things that were said, yes, it did start off very rough. We thought that it could be added to the original garage. Mm-hmm. But come to find out the 5-foot setback was something that we were not adhering to. So for some reason, I don't know, my husband has been doing the work and a friend of his. And so I wasn't aware that he got a warning and then went on and started the process. That was shut down. And after that was shut down, the work stopped. So it did not continue a whole year after it was stopped. So that statement was not correct. But yes, we did start a thing and made the mistake of putting all the funds and all that stuff into it. My mom is elderly. She had cancer in 2015. We didn't know she was going to live this long, but now she's been staying with me since 2020, since my dad died. But now all of a sudden she wants to move back to her own house. She said she wants, if she passed away, she wants to be there. So we decided to build this accessory, attachment so that when family come to help take care of her or whatever, you know, we're preparing in advance for that. So that's why we're building this building, attaching it to the old garage.
So once you received the stop work order from the building department, at that point you stopped work. So there's a misunderstanding in terms of when you were told initially a warning was given, there was a misunderstanding about the warning. And then when the red flag went up and they said stop working, your husband and his partner stopped working.
Yes. Well, I think the foundation, they had the supplies, I believe. All that was done in one day, it didn't continue anymore after that.
Okay.
So as what you see there on the east side, that was done in like a day. So no more continuous building that was done. It was shut down and then I started trying to apply for a permit and get things straight. But I did drag my feet a long time with trying to get the variance.
Right.
But we did get the permit and we split it. First, it was for both the accessory in the back as well as the house, but then we split it. So a lot has been going on, and I wasn't able to do things, I guess, as swift as most people would. But
you can understand, though, how it
looks ugly.
It's not a good picture, right?
Oh, no,
you know, it's
not.
Like that somebody was being, you know, sort of
rebellious,
doing the wrong thing without regard for the rules, right?
Yes, I was terribly ashamed going through that,
now,
hearing that.
Do you have a contractor in place that's going to be able to manage this thing?
We've had so much trouble with trying to get someone to fix it. I mean, do the work to over and over. Even right now,
yeah,
we had to stop with the house. Over and over, it's trouble.
In my experience, Ms. Wilson, the people over at the building department, although they may seem somewhat intimidating, are actually some of the nicest people I've ever worked with in my life.
I agree.
And so if you went to the building department and asked for their assistance, they will help you. They're not going to do the work for you, but they will certainly give you the answers to your questions so that you can do things according to the rules and not have to worry about this type of thing. So if you're able to get a variance, then, you know, my next step, if I were you, was to engage the building department so that they can assist you in making sure your paperwork is done correctly and that they give you a list of items that you need to provide and you know, that while they're not allowed to recommend a general contractor,
right,
my second piece of advice to you, if I'm offering advice, would be to try and hire a reputable contractor to finish the job for you if you receive a variance, because it's clear that, no disrespect to anyone involved in this, you need a little help. So.
Oh, I do.
Yeah.
I had a question.
Please.
So you said that the purpose of constructing this building was to be prepared for family coming once your mother moved back into the property. Do you mean that folks would be staying here? Would this be a dwelling unit for people that came? So this is an accessory dwelling unit being built, not a garage. It used to be a garage, but you want to convert it into some place where people can sleep?
It's actually both. On the west side and then the east side is supposed to be like a studio, a small studio.
A studio, like,
yeah,
bedroom.
Yeah, because me and my husband will be staying there with my mom. But
indefinitely.
Like,
I mean, y'all would be moving into this place.
Yes.
I think she means into the main house.
Into the main house or into what you're building?
We'll be staying in the main house.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Other family members will be moving into the...
So someone would be
staying in the
temporary, yes,
sleeping in this. So it's not a garage, which I guess was the original thought.
It actually still will be
partially
on the
a garage.
West side. Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So I was just trying to understand what the end goal of this, what would it be used for?
Yeah.
Next question would be for staff. Were you guys aware that this was going to be a dwelling unit at all? Would that change the variance that she would need to get? Would she need to go through the ADU approval process? I mean, how does that work?
Right. So in the application, it states that it's for a garage. And so we were going for that until we went for a site visit and we were unsure what the use was because of the window openings and the entry door. But it is located within the RSF 6 zoning district. So they would have to comply with the ADU regulations, and it would most likely not be allowed, especially that size of an accessory dwelling, and their lot area would have to meet that requirement.
So even if we grant the variance today for the setback, if they were actually intending to use it as an ADU, our variance would still not be enough to allow what their intended purpose of it is? Is
right.
that true?
The setback, if approved, would be allowed, but the use would not be.
I mean, she may need to go back to the drawing board entirely.
Mr. Wilson, I'm going to recommend something to you. It's okay. But let me just say this, and then I'll give you an opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
It's a perfectly acceptable thing for you during the course of the meeting to ask for postponement of this review so that you could go back, because you may want to modify your application. Because otherwise, if we give you a variance today, you might have to come back here again,
mm-hmm,
and then you're going to pay a second time to sit before us. but you may be able to, Ms. Leto, would she be able to modify her application and at this point? If she's stepped out of today's meeting?
Yes, she would be able to do that.
Yeah. That would be my advice to you. Let's get the paperwork organized correctly so that you only have to be here one time instead of having to come back twice. And you might find that, you know, you want to make some changes so that you put yourself in a better position.
And I'll add quickly, you may want to, if you go that route, connect with staff and, you know, work with them between now and the next time just so they fully understand what the full intention of everything is before, so that there's no surprises for them when they get up here. And then there's no, oh, well, they're saying one thing and you're saying one thing. Just make sure everything is clear before you come before us would be my recommendation.
Well, it was made thoroughly clear that it was be an accessory dwelling. And they went through the requirements with me and said I will still be in compliance. So I don't understand why from there, because they helped me write this out. They helped me fill out the paperwork because that's what I was having trouble with. So they helped me fill it out, and that was supposed to be in there. From there, from the city to here, for some reason that was left out.
I just think there might have been a misunderstanding, that's all. And and these things happen, you know. Especially
okay.
When you've got, you know, a lot of times that they're dealing with a number of things, a lot of balls in the air, so to speak,
yeah.
If you will, right? And so not that anybody would try to, and it's quite obvious, I think, by the intent of the board that you can see here today, we're trying to help you.
Yeah. And we want to make sure you're not penalized for a misunderstanding in any way.
Right.
And I appreciate
communicate.
It.
Yeah.
I appreciate it.
So if you are, if you're willing to say, I'd like to postpone my hearing today so I can review my application, we'll make a motion to do that. And that allows you that time necessary so that you don't have to start from scratch, if you will. Is that what you'd like to do? Yes, sir.
Can I say something? John and I were not aware that this was going to be an accessory dwelling unit when we spoke to you because if we had of at the time, it would require a 12,000 square foot lot. The variances that was not variable. The variance or the standards have changed in the last month. So now it would require a 7,500 square foot lot, but that is variable. So you could apply for a variance for an ADU as long as it meets the size limitations, the separation from the main structure. For a 7,500 square foot lot, the variance, you have a 69 plus 100 square foot lot. You could apply for a 550 or 600 square foot lot size variance as long as you meet the other standards, you know, to have an accessory dwelling unit. And I would, like Mr. Cotton, I'd advise you to ask for a continuance and let's get it straight and come back. Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
So you have to say that.
I request a continuance.
Thank you so much. Ms. Leto, do you have anything to say before I make a motion?
Yes, only that the application, she wrote, addition to an existing shed that is on the rear property line, mm-hmm. need relief from rear setback from 5 feet to 0 feet.
Okay. Yeah.
I have a motion.
I have a question.
Go right ahead. Question first.
The existing shed is at that 0 feet, correct, Ms. Leto?
And staff and code compliance supervisor can confirm that that was there, you know, at the very beginning of this whole process, there was a, okay.
Existing block building.
Right. And it is already at 0 feet.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Okay. All right.
I motion that we continue this, you know, postpone it.
And I'll second.
Second. We'll go to a roll call. Ms. Jarrett?
Yes.
Mr. Evans?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
And Mr. Turner?
Yes.
Okay. We will, motion was made and accepted that we will postpone this.
Leto work with her on that as well.
Ms. Leto, would you please help Ms. Wilson? No, I don't mean this moment. To help her to make sure that, work with her through the process.
Yes, she already.
Oh, fantastic.
Helped it.
Oh, thank you very
yes,
much.
Absolutely. We'll work together.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay. Next item on the agenda is 215 Scriven Avenue, a variance to front yard setback.
Hey there. This is Edward Morrow, MPC staff. If you would just give me one quick second.
Good morning, sir, and welcome to your first ZBA meeting for the city of Savannah.
Thank you so much. Pleasure to be here. Oh. All right, so the current request came to staff from a contractor who submitted building plans in an effort to do a rear addition to the home that's at 215 Scriven Avenue. And so it was determined by plan review at that time that the existing home on the property did not meet the front setback requirements. And again, this was in an effort to construct a rear addition to the property. And so the home is currently situated in the RSF5 zoning district, which is going to require front and rear setbacks of 20 feet and side setbacks of 5 feet. And also 40% lot coverage and 5,000 square foot of area is required in this zoning district. Staff determined that the parcel itself is conforming, and the existing home that is situated on the property, which was built in about 1923, sits approximately 2 feet from the front property line. According to Board of Assessor data, again, the home was constructed in 1923, and it has had later updates, but again, it's the original structure. Most of the homes nearby are similarly situated, and they reflect a lot placement that's consistent with a much earlier development pattern. The existing home is 1,527 square feet and covers about 25.5% of the lot. So there's about 14% of lot coverage that this applicant could potentially have if this variance request is approved. The proposed rear addition is, according to the plans that were submitted, it will comport with all of the requirements of the zoning district, and the proposed changes will not in any way expand that existing nonconformity. So we can see here from SAGIS, this is the subject parcel outlined in red. You can see that most of those adjacent parcels are right up on that front property line. Those setbacks vary from about 2 feet, going back to about, I'd say, 9 feet for most of those existing homes. There is one at the very top, the northernmost property, kind of in this picture on that block face, so that you could see what 20 feet looks like for a home that has been reconstructed. So it actually kind of creates sort of a really different look. But again, the subject parcel contains a home that is consistent with those that are around it, reflecting that earlier development pattern. And all of these homes that are adjacent were constructed in the early 1900s. In reviewing the variance criteria, the requested variance is consistent with the intent of the ordinance in the comprehensive plan and is not likely to be injurious to the neighborhood or otherwise detrimental. There are no special conditions that exist. And the circumstance is not the fault of the applicant. It's not due to their actions at all. A literal interpretation of the ordinance in this situation would produce some harm to the applicant because under normal circumstances, they would be allowed to cover about 40% and to construct that addition. And so literal interpretation would cause some harm or injury. This is, if it were granted, the minimum variance that would be needed to bring the structure into conformance, even though I must say that no variance is required to make reasonable use. There's a home that's in good condition, but it would just create some additional issues for the homeowner in the event they wanted to sell and someone were to find out that they couldn't make these types of additions without going through this process. And again, the grant of this variance would not produce any special privileges. Staff recommends approval of the variance request for allowing a 2-foot front setback. And again, the proposed addition will conform in all respects and comply with all the requirements of the RSF5 zoning district. That concludes staff report. Happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Any questions? Nope. Anyone else like to speak on behalf of the petition? Sir, were you sworn in or did you come in late? You
were sworn in. Yes.
Okay. So please introduce yourself.
Nasser Jaber, Global Investment Traders. I'm the petitioner, and just in case you had any questions, no other comments. I appreciate the board's review throughout the process.
Any questions? No. I think you're all set, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone wishing to speak against the petition? Okay. Seeing none, I will anyone online, by the way? No, sorry. Forgot to ask. Thank you. Seeing no questions, look for a motion.
A motion to approve.
Second.
Motion made and seconded. We'll go to a roll call. Ms. Jarrett?
Yes.
Mr. Evans?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
And Mr. Turner?
Yes.
Motion is approved. And petition is approved. Okay. Next will be 820 and 824 East Bolton Street, a lot with frontage variance.
Hi, this is Jamie Zarillo presenting the staff report for 820-824 East Bolton Street. The applicant is requesting a frontage variance to allow a frontage of a 29-foot wide lot, variance from the 40-foot requirement. So a little bit of background is that when we were discussing with the applicant, we found that the tax digest actually incorrectly shows this whole parcel as two parcels. And on the digest, it shows it as 93 feet in width. However, the surveyor, when they conducted the survey, they found it was one parcel, which is 69 feet in width.
Wow.
So that does create a bit of an issue for the applicant in that in this zoning district, which is TR1, 40 feet is the minimum lot width. So if it were 93 feet as on the parcel, they could divide it evenly into two parcels. However, as it's 69 feet, it cannot be divided evenly into conforming parcels. So that's why the applicant is proposing to divide it into a 40-foot wide corner lot and a 29-foot wide interior lot. And this is the proposed site plan. And in the adjacent area, there's sort of a range of different lot widths. On the corner, you have wider lots, which range from 72 feet up to 77 feet. You also have some smaller corner lots that have been subdivided in the past, such as 30 feet on the adjacent block. And then you also have some less conforming corner blocks that, or corner lots that face the north-south street. So we found that this is consistent with the ordinance. They are trying to create one conforming lot, and the leftover of that is a non-conforming lot. So they are attempting to conform with the pattern of development pattern of the block. There are, as stated, smaller interior lots, which is generally the case in these more traditional neighborhoods, which range from 25 feet to 30 feet, which again does not conform to the ordinance as stated. There are some special conditions in that there are these adjacent lots, which actually are much wider than a typical interior lot, which go from 50 feet and up. So that does take away from how much space is left on the block physically. That condition was not, created by the applicant. However, they are choosing to subdivide the lot. As far as minimum variance, staff did find that this was the minimum variance necessary, as they are trying to create a 40-foot wide lot, and the space left over is 29.9 feet. And if granted, it would not confer special privileges, as there are lots on this block that follow the traditional pattern of smaller interior lots, which is why staff is recommending approval for frontage variance to allow for frontage of 29.9 feet wide from the 40-foot requirement. I'll answer any questions.
Any questions for staff? No? Thank you very much, sir. Anyone wishing to speak on behalf? Please introduce yourself as you come forward.
I'm Joseph Stuckey. I'm the land surveyor who surveyed the property and helping with the minor subdivision.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Thank y'all. Really what we looked at doing when the owner's here as well, Mr. Lanson bought this, he was intending to have the extra 25 feet that was shown on the Sages. But when we surveyed it and pulled the deeds and did everything, that 25 feet
vanished
yeah. very quickly. So trying to take this parcel, still trying to be able to do a development on it. The original intent was to do two houses, and with this, we're still trying to meet that intent. So we were making a conforming lot on the corner because it would be larger, and then a non-conforming on the interior. There are also some of those interior lots that are less than 29. There are some 25s and some 26s in there mm-hmm. on the rest of that street.
Yeah, I did notice that. I'm familiar with that block because I live about two blocks away from there. So
yes, yeah. Yes, sir.
And there is a sort of a varied, you know, as a staff reported, there's a varied size of the lots in that area.
And I didn't show it on my exhibit, but on the next block down, there's a lot of them as well. So it's a consistent pattern that's going through this area.
Okay. So any questions? Yes, ma'am.
Are you keeping the 40-foot lot 40 feet because of setbacks?
No, ma'am. We were just trying to do – we figured we would have – it would be more fitting the what's in the neighborhood, being that we did a conforming lot or a larger lot on the corner and then made the smaller lot.
Okay.
We would not be opposed to making that lot, but that's not what we applied for. Smaller to make them more equal.
All right.
We just felt like on the corner it needed to be a little larger lot.
Thank you.
Any other questions? No? Thank you very much, sir.
If you have any questions, I'll be glad to answer them.
Thank you. Anyone else wishing to speak in favor? Anyone online? Anyone wishing to speak against? Seeing none, I will look for a motion.
Motion to approve.
I'll second.
Having a motion to approve and seconded, I will give the roll call. Ms. Jarrett?
Yes.
Mr. Evans?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
And Mr. Turner?
Yes.
Motion is approved, and the variance is granted. Okay. Next is 538 East Bolton Street.
This is Jamie Zarillo presenting the staff report for 538 East Bolton Street. The applicant is requesting a side yard setback reduction to allow for the construction of a new addition utilizing an existing addition footprint, which is currently within the required 3-foot side yard setback area, in addition to allow the construction of a non-combustible staircase from the second story of the proposed carriage house. And this is the site plan as existing, showing the existing addition on the property. And some background is that this was heard by the Historic Preservation Commission on March 22nd, 2023, which approved rehabilitation of the existing structure, demolition of a non-historic addition, construction of a new addition, and construction of a new rear yard accessory dwelling unit. The applicant's now seeking this variance, again, to allow for those two specified items. And I'll scroll down to the site plan. You can see a little bit. So here is this proposed addition utilizing that existing footprint, and this is the side yard setback right here. So it's a few inches over. And then as for this rear yard stair, that goes from the accessory dwelling unit, they're proposing to construct it within the side yard setback area. And the reason they're doing this is because, they stated placing here could cause conflicts with the 10-foot building separation requirement between principal structure and accessory dwelling unit. So staff found that the variance is consistent with the ordinance, and it's also consistent with the Victorian Local Historic District Design Standards and the Secretary of Interior Standards. It is, again, conforming to Chapter 8 of the Comprehensive Plan, which concerns historic properties, as historically there was accessory dwelling units here on the property and throughout the lane. However, they've since been demolished. And staff did not find the variance would be detrimental to the public health, safety, or welfare. Moving the stair, which is required, the non-combustible staircase, could interfere with that 10-foot building separation between the principal structure. So a different configuration could be less optimal for egress between the property. So as far as special conditions, the existing addition's footprint is non-conforming, and that addition has been there for several decades before the property owner purchased the property, and they are proposing to use that existing footprint. So it was not a condition that they created. However, it's a condition that they are choosing to conform with on the lot. In as far as the minimum variance, staff found that this would be the minimum variance if granted. The staircase isn't particularly wide, but it does enter the entire required setback area. And so staff's recommendation is approval for the variance to allow a 3-foot reduction to the 3-foot yard setback in order to construct a non-combustible staircase on the east elevation of a new accessory dwelling unit and construct a new addition with the same footprint as the existing non-conforming addition. I'll answer any questions.
Thank you, sir. Any questions? Questions? No. Seeing no questions, I'll move on. Anyone want to speak on behalf of this petition? Please introduce yourself as you come up.
Braden Skelly, owner and signer, alongside my wife, Shelby Skelly. I'm here to answer any questions. Thank the board and the staff for your consideration of our position today.
Any questions?
No.
You're all set. Thank you. Anyone else wishing to speak on behalf of the petition? Anyone online? No. Seeing no one, anyone interested in speaking against the petition? Seeing no one, I'll look for a motion.
Motion to approve.
I have a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second. Motion and second. We'll go to the roll call. And Ms. Jarrett?
Yes.
Mr. Evans?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
And Mr. Turner?
Yes.
Thank you. The motion is approved and the variance is granted. Next on the agenda is 1040 Chatham Center Drive, a reduction of the 100-foot buffer from residential zoning district for full-service car wash.
This is Jamie Zarillo presenting the staff report for 1040 Chatham Center Drive. The applicant is requesting a variance from the required 100-foot distance from a residential zoning district to allow for a 60-foot distance from an RMF2 zoning district boundary, and the variance is for a full-service car wash. This is a variance from the section which states that such use shall be located no closer than 100 feet from a residential zoning district or existing residence, and the subject parcel is in a community business zoning district. So this is a more up-to-date aerial photo. If you look on Google, it's just trees. However, there is a under-construction multifamily development on this side of this private drive, and this is showing where the car wash will be in relation to this new road, which isn't on Google Maps.
So it will not center, it will not front Chatham Parkway or Chatham Center Drive, however, this drive here. And this is the proposed site plan. So staff found that the variance is consistent with the ordinance, specifically the portion of the comprehensive plan, which states that this parcel is located in a suburban commercial character area, which implies that residential activity in this character is located behind the commercial frontage. As proposed here, there's commercial frontage facing Chatham Center Parkway Drive, and then residential on the other side of that drive. As well as that new and redeveloping commercial centers should be encouraged to use innovative site design to minimize the visual impact of expansive parking areas, which by fronting the drive in this area, yes. So there are special conditions in that the parcel is quite large. It stretches all the way up, as you can see, all the way up and around. So it is quite large, and that's sort of what triggers this required buffer, as it is a large parcel that fronts many different right-of-ways. As far as a literal interpretation, staff believes that, again, it's in accordance with the goals and objectives of the comprehensive plan for a suburban commercial character area, so literal interpretation would deprive the applicant of such rights as included under such zoning district. This is also the minimum variance, as there is a buffer with that right-of-way. They're proposing to be an appropriate distance from that buffer, and that provides sort of like a natural physical barrier between the two, or not natural necessarily. And the variance would not confer special privileges that are denied to similar properties within the same zoning district. So staff recommends approval for a variance from the required 100-foot distance buffer from a residential zoning district to allow for a 60-foot distance from an RMF2 district boundary to construct a full-service car wash. And I'll answer any questions.
Thank you, sir. I know we have a question from the Honorable Lady.
Is there going to be any buffer between the outside of the road, between the car wash and the apartments? Is there a landscape buffer for the car wash, or is there a landscape buffer for the apartments?
For the apartments, I'm not sure. However, on the side of the car wash facing the apartments, there doesn't appear to be a buffer. There is landscaping fronting Chatham Parkway, though.
Thank you. You had suggested that the design, I think, mitigated the visual impact of the parking. There was one suggestion in the report of that. How so? I didn't follow that.
Well, staff believes that if such the parking were facing Chatham Parkway, and if there was frontage to Chatham Parkway, that would be more obtrusive. However, it's facing a drive which is off of the main sort of arterial roads in this area. So that's staff's understanding of the site plan, I guess.
The private is part of the whole development.
That's my concern as well.
Yeah. The any other questions? Is the applicant present? Good morning, sir. Please introduce yourself.
Yes. Good morning. Almost afternoon, isn't it?
Not quite yet.
My name is Brian Braun with Advanced Engineering Services. I do represent the petitioner here, where we were the engineering company laying out the site plan and can definitely answer any questions. Definitely at first want to make sure everyone understands there is a private road in between the two zonings. So that is 60 foot actually between both property lines. And we do have an exhibit, the car wash building and the nearest apartment building will be 171 foot, between them. So, there also is on the corner, the city has a, lift station. That's what's in that corner of the intersection, that does have generators on it. So when those run, those are there as well. So we did work around those as well. So I'm here to answer any questions. Well, we hope it's somewhat straightforward, but we're glad to answer any questions.
Do you intend to put some type of a buffer, just sort of an attractive shrubbery or trees or what have you, on that side that faces towards the apartment complex on the private road?
Yes, sir. We'll have to meet, obviously, all of this staff's, you know, city's landscape codes and stuff like that. We'll definitely meet all those requirements. I do know the end use likes to have a nice site, so we will, you know, do our best to make it look as nice as possible.
Just something to absorb sound.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Yes, sir. We definitely understand that.
Yeah, absolutely. Any questions? No? Okay. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Anyone else like to speak on behalf of the petition? Seeing no one, anyone online? Anyone like to speak against the petition? Seeing no one, I will look for a motion.
Motion to approve.
Motion made. Do I have a second?
Second.
Seconded. I will call the roll. Mr. Turner?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
Mr. Evans?
Yes.
And Ms. Jarrett?
Yes.
Motion is approved, and the variance is approved. And the next thing on the agenda is 311 West Wahlberg Street, a side yard setback reduction. You are a busy man today, my friend.
This is Jamie Zarillo again presenting the staff report for 311 West Wahlberg Street. The applicant is requesting a variance to allow for a 3-foot reduction of a 3-foot side yard setback to construct a rear porch the same width as the main house. The property is zoned traditional neighborhood one. The applicant received a certificate of appropriateness from the HPC on May 24, 2023, as well as a variance recommendation request to the Savannah Zoning Board of Appeals. In 2019, a fire damaged the 3 townhouses on this block. The subject property suffered damage to the rear porch, which is no longer present on the property. As you can see, this is a photo of the property as existing post-fire. And this is the proposed rear elevation with a porch matching the property next door. So staff found that this variance is consistent with the ordinance, specifically the Victorian Local Historic Design District design standards, as well as the Secretary of Interior standards in the Chapter 8, which concerns historic preservation. And the variance would not be detrimental to the public health, safety, or welfare. The applicant is proposing to rebuild a porch similar as to what existed on the property prior to the fire, as well as what's existing to the adjacent property. A special condition does exist in that there was a fire which eliminated the previously existing porch, and this was not an action of the applicant. As far as literal interpretation, it would deprive them of rights enjoyed by the rest of the community, particularly that this block did have full width rear porches, and that's what existed historically on these properties and similar properties. This would be the minimum variance if granted, as they're seeking this to construct a porch that is a full width porch that meets the standards of the Victorian Local Historic District design standards. And if granted, it would not confer special privileges that are denied to similar properties within the same zoning district. So staff recommends approval for a variance to allow for a 3-foot reduction of the 3-foot side yard setback in order to construct a rear porch the same width as the main house. And I'll answer any questions.
Thank you very much. Any questions? No? I see Ms. Harris back there, so I suspect we have someone who's going to speak in favor of this. Good morning, Ms. Harris. How are you today?
I'm fine. Good morning. Ellen Harris with Ethos Preservation. We're happy to answer any questions, and just thank you and the staff for their time and consideration.
Any questions? No? I think you're all set.
Okay, thank you.
Anyone else wishing to speak in favor of the application? Anyone wishing to speak online? And anyone wishing to speak against the application? Please come forward and introduce yourself.
Hi, my name is Kenneth Corona. I'm the homeowner of 313 right next door, also resident there. My issue with it lies mostly in the entire width of the space being used in the back four decks on both sides. Bottom, really no problem. That's always been there. The issue with upstairs is most of the homes around are also, what do you call it? You know, vacation rentals. The same size would make it very close to what we have right next door in our house, which for me presents some issues with privacy as well as safety issues. The other issue that I have is with the roof, which I've tried to get some explanations or some clarity on that before, but how the roof that they're planning to build over that deck is going to interact with my roof. We spent a lot of money, a lot of time to rebuild, to separate everything so that we don't have issues that we've had before where if one of us wants to redo the roof, everybody has to redo the roof. So I'd like to get some clarity on that. I'd like to make sure that if it does take up the entire space, you know, how are they going to deal and mitigate the roof with our roof? Definitely don't want it to be attached at any point, especially over the deck. So that's, if you have anything else.
So quick question for you.
Yeah.
When the fire happened, did it also burn your porch?
Absolutely.
And you rebuilt your porch in its current configuration?
The parlor level porch.
Okay.
The upper level porch was an addition.
The part of their porch that burnt and was removed prior to that, did it extend as they're asking for the approval to do now?
I don't remember. I believe it did extend all the way.
You can kind of see our position where they're really asking for permission to rebuild what was there that was taken by no fault of their own through a fire. I think that it's important that you communicate with their, you know, with the homeowner and the architect and what have you, because I'm quite confident, especially with Ms. Harris, who's outstanding at her job, to make sure that you'll be happy with, we're not here to deal with the, whether the roof touch, which I don't believe they will or what have you. I think, if you, before you leave today, communicate with Ms. Harris, I think you'll be happy with the result, that you'll be part of the process and the concerns that you have, which are all very legitimate concerns, are addressed. Our principal responsibility today is to grant or deny permission for these guys to rebuild something that they lost in a fire.
Well, that would only pertain though to the parlor level and not to the top floor. Yeah, the third floor deck.
Okay, there was no third floor deck before?
Yeah. No, there wasn't.
Okay.
That's not part of how the buildings were originally.
Okay.
And
you have to introduce yourself.
Oh, hi. I'm Shauna Corona, and this is my husband. We live right next door. So as, you know, homeowners and full-time residents who are living in very close proximity, a big concern is loss of privacy.
Sure.
And we are the middle unit in the three.
In the three.
Yep. And while originally all three units had the parlor level decks, so I'm not disputing that. The reason we built the third floor deck was because we are sandwiched in the middle. 315 is a busy vacation rental, and we needed some sort of a little bit of privacy, just a little bit of respite, you know, and that's why we went up. And so if 311 is granted the variance and allowed to do the third floor deck and be very close to us, I'm sure that, you know, y'all can see that it really does. We have nowhere to go. It kind of takes away so much of our privacy.
Were you all able to attend the prior meeting with where it was reviewed by Historic Review?
I tried to speak. Every time I tried to speak, my hand was put down. So I was never allowed the opportunity.
So you weren't allowed to speak?
I was on the call. I tried to speak. I was not allowed to speak. I was told that it was a technical issue.
I see.
I didn't know it was a technical issue when someone puts your hand down that you raised. So apparently it's a thing.
Okay. Let me ask Ms. Harris some questions. If you want to sit down, we'll call you
sure.
back up. Thank you, Ms. Harris. So the plan as presented is different than what was originally there.
Yes, the neighboring structure, the parlor level porch was originally there, and they are building an addition above that, which was reviewed by the Historic Preservation Commission, nearly identical to what the neighbors have done. I can show you here. It's here. There.
Okay. Right.
Yeah, I just wanted to be clear. So the timeline of events was, you know, none of the houses had a second floor balcony. There was a fire. First, they applied. They rebuilt their first floor, and the neighbors applied for a variance to add a second floor. They constructed it. Now this one is doing essentially the exact same thing that the neighbors did. They're applying for a variance to build a second floor and restore what was burned in the fire.
Yes, although – maybe staff can correct me. I believe that the neighboring property variance was not required. I think it was maybe an oversight, so they may not have actually applied for a variance, but they went through the approval process through the HPC to get it approved. But I don't think that they caught the variance issue. But yes, essentially this property owner is going through this process doing exactly the same thing.
Okay, thank you.
The roof of the proposed porch that you all are bringing before us, it does not touch the roof of the neighbors.
No.
There is a plan in place for remediation of water, yes?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And I've got my business cards. I'm going to put you guys in touch with the architect and the owner as well, and so we can all make sure that your concerns are addressed.
I think it's, you know, given the world that we live in today, I think it's fair for the neighbors to be concerned about the fact that they're trying to enjoy their backyard and their porch and so on, and then the people that rent the Airbnb next door that are gone on Sunday morning don't really worry quite as much about whether or not the person who lives there 365 is enjoying their backyard.
Sure.
So I would respectfully request that you work with these folks so that we can make sure that they have a acceptable, you know, resolution.
We absolutely will, and I didn't even know you guys were online at the previous meeting. Had we known that, we would have
That's always, you know, important, right?
Okay. Absolutely.
Any other questions for Ms. Harris? No. Thank you, Ms. Harris.
Thank you.
If you all want to come back up. Do you have any other questions for us?
No, nothing. Nothing
okay.
for me.
I think it's important that you communicate with Ms. Harris and the architect and so on so that something could be done to alleviate your concerns. I think you would agree with me that if other people were allowed to do something, that we're not really in a very viable position to deny the third person in line the ability to do what the first two people in line got to do, if you get my meaning. So
yeah, understood. I think in regards to the roof though, how far away from us will it be?
Well, these are questions that I think can be answered because the roof is not part of our purview here today.
Okay.
So but I'm very confident that Ms. Harris and the staff will work with you on that to make sure that you're satisfied with the answers.
Okay.
What we're here today specifically is just to address, you know, the issue before us, which is not the specifics of the roof line or watershed or that type of thing.
Gotcha. All right.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Anyone else here to speak against? Okay, seeing none, I'll look for a motion.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Seconded. So I have a motion to approve the variance request for a side yard setback. Ms. Jarrett?
Yes.
Mr. Evans?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
And Mr. Turner?
Yes.
Motion is approved, and the variance is granted. Seeing no other business, I will take this opportunity to adjourn the meeting. Thank you all for your hard work.